Art Spiegelman won the 1992 Pulitzer Prize for his book Maus, the story of his parents' survival of the Holocaust told in the form of a comic strip. For the Morning Edition series Intersections, an exploration of artists and their inspirations, NPR special correspondent Susan Stamberg went to Spiegelman's studio in New York City's Soho neighborhood.
In the 13 years it took him to produce Maus, Art Spiegelman listened most days to this recording while he worked. The Comedy Harmonists, a 1930s Berlin a cappella sextet, three Aryans, three Jews. Huge stars in Europe until Hitler broke them up. Won't have it known here that we own a telephone. The other part of Art Spiegelman's soundtrack in his years creating Maus was his father's voice, which he had taped and then transcribed almost verbatim sometimes into the cartoon balloons that carry speech in comics.
She carried always poison. And she said, in the last moment, I will not go to the guest chamber. My children will not go to the guest chamber. She poisoned the children and herself.
Maus told one of the most tragic stories of our times in a form usually reserved for the funnies. It was an audacious, outrageous, controversial act. Spiegelman depicts Jews as mice, the Nazis are cats, Poles are cartoon pigs. But in Maus, Art Spiegelman created a comic novel for adults. He used the visual conventions of comics to tell a very dark tale. And people who loved reading books and thought comics were something you outgrew found his simple black and white drawings, the grim ballooning words, as compelling as literature.
I think one of the reasons Maus became a literary, in quotes, success was that people have an easier time reading than looking. You know, even in schools, one's taught to read. One's rarely taught to look.
Art Spiegelman was born in February 1948 in Stockholm. His Polish parents made their way to the U.S. when he was three. He says he's drawn pictures since forever, always loved comics. He learned to read from them. As a kid, he would look up the word comics in dictionaries just to see what strips they would use to define the form. He realized something important about the power of comics when he was little.
One of the things that inspired Maus was the memories of a little girl in my fourth grade class reading a romance comic and crying. I mean, wow, comics can make you cry?
As soon as she heard that they killed her uncle and they are going to send over all the town who only is left to Auschwitz-Birkenau, to the guest chamber.
The major influence Art Spiegelman cites is Mad, in the early years when it was a comic book, not a magazine. One Mad cover from 1954 satirized Life magazine, which often featured stage and screen beauties. Mad's cover girl was hideous, a horse-toothed spaghetti hair version of Cubist Picasso by Basil Wolverton, with the caption, "Beautiful Girl of the Month." Seeing this spoof at age six, Art Spiegelman knew he was looking at a revolution.
Life magazine at the time was sort of like CNN, Tom Brokaw, and Beyond all in one. That was the ultimate voice of adult, responsible authority about what the world really was, all subverted very effectively and completely in this one picture that just explodes at you.
Remember, it was the uptight conformist 50s, and here was this publication screeching into the very heart of 50s values.
The message that Mad had in general, which I then discovered right after, which is, the media is lying to you, and we are part of the media. So it was basically, gulp, think for yourself, kids.
Mad showed that the world was more neurotic, fractured, fragmented than authorities would have you believe. The magazine affected how Art Spiegelman thought and viewed the world. Mad creators William Gaines and Harvey Kurtzman published cartoons that were densely crammed with images.
That required hours and hours of saying, oh, look in the background, this guy has a tattoo and it's a good housekeeping seal of approval or whatever these little extra random thoughts were. And it taught me how to look.
Maus is not so densely drawn, but shortly after you are introduced to its protagonist, Spiegelman's father, Vladek, you see, in a corner of one comic frame, a forearm with the tattooed concentration camp number, 175113. It's such a quiet book for the terrifying tale it tells. And even after all the Holocaust stories, this one, with its relentless parade of black ink drawings, forces you to pay attention yet again.
Cartooning is a very basic language. Part of it, its power comes from how far into the brain it can move, you know?
Because it's so compressed.
Because it's compressed visual language and verbal language, it actually does what your brain does when it's processing information.
Art Spiegelman puts himself in the center of Mao's. In the comic book novel, Art, the son, hears, then draws what his father is telling him. Spiegelman's newest book, In the Shadow of No Towers, due out next fall, is his account of life after the September 11th attacks. Again, the artist draws himself on its pages.
It's the problem of being a narcissist, I suppose. I don't know how to experience the world except through my own eyeballs.
Artist, writer, illustrator, cartoonist, chain smoker, Art Spiegelman. Inspired by a young girl's tears and the pages of a satirical comic. At his drawing board, he encounters the dark past and the difficult present. Spiegelman created the first New Yorker cover after the terrorist attacks. The cover appears to be all black. On closer inspection, the two towers are seen, somber ghosts where once there was life. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News.
Art Spiegelman talks more about comics at npr.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards.